You're awesome, Ron. Ron is awesome. Scott, am I supposed to announce some little golf thing you never?
No.
No. Okay. That was easy. How many have had one of those weeks? I had one of those weeks this last week. I got a call from my daughter. Said there is a man pounding on the door. Now, all the dads in here are already going, what? What? And I'm on my way home. She says, he says he's from some company. Now, I have no recollection, no knowledge of what was going on. So I hurried. I said, I'm coming. I'll be there in just a few. She saw me pull in the drive, and the way that I came in the drive, she was like, uh-oh. There was a truck there. I steered my car so he could not move his truck. And so I was out of my car or my truck and was walking to his briskly. And he jumps out of his truck like this. Hey, I'm just here. And so he explained. And I'm like, okay. And that was that day. And Maddie was like, wow. So I'll be really glad in a couple weeks we'll be living 7 miles from here. Thank you, Jesus. So, hallelujah. The next day, we were, you know, we're selling a few things on Marketplace, and so I did that. That's fun. Made arrangements to, they were buying something, and they were coming from a distance, and so the agreement was, call me before you get, and when you leave, so you know when you're going to get there, and I will make sure that I'm there, which makes sense. Okay, that's what we'll do. They didn't do that. So I'm at Meijer in Marion, and I get a call and says, hey, we're just a few minutes from your house. I'm like, dude, I am 30 minutes at least away. So he's like, well, I thought you were going to be there. I said, I thought you were going to call. I'm cutting to the chase. So I am nicer, you know. So it's just, oh, that pastor, he's got a short fuse. So, you know, I said, well, sir, I thought you were going to call. And so I was nice, and I said, listen, I'm on my way. Got behind. Isn't that the times that you're trying to get somewhere? God bless our farmers, because I love them. I'm so thankful for the farmers, and I truly mean that. But I got behind somebody pulling, like, two big hay things on 309. I mean, and then there's 17 cars in front of me, everybody trying to take their turn to go around, you know, which on 309, that's like dodging cars at Cedar Point. And so I called the guy and said, look, I'm trying to get there. I'm behind some farm equipment. I'll get there as soon as I can. Okay. And we have a ring alarm on my barn. So if, you know, if you walk in front of it, my phone goes, and so I know they're still there because it's like going bananas. So I get there. I probably shouldn't tell you all my business, but this was just hilarious. Please, 85-year-old woman. She's got to be 85 or older than God. I'm not real sure, but she walks up to me. I mean, I get there, I pull in, and I said, you know, sorry. You know, it's not really even my fault. She walks up to me, puts her hand over my hand, and slaps me across the face. I'm like, and she goes to hit me again. I stop her hand. These thoughts run through my mind. Nothing bad. No, I would not hit her or anything. I just put her hand down. I said, please do not hit me again. You have no right to hit me. And she went on to explain why she did and why she thought she did. And I said, you need to blame the gentleman behind you because he failed to call. That was the agreement. Is that not the agreement? He said, that was the agreement. And you know, some other fun things were said, not by me. And, you know, I go in there, I probably should have just said, I'm not selling it to you. But, you know, I'm like, whatever. So I go in to get the item that they want to buy. And I told my wife, I said, I just got slapped by an 85-year-old woman at least. She goes, what? So I told him what they said. I said, who talks like that? And this is PK. Satan. Now, the reason you don't see her today is she is our granddaughter's getting baptized at Pastor Gary's. And she is there to support that. She's so excited that she's being baptized. And so she's there. And obviously I said, well, you can come preach and I'll go there. She goes, no. So anyway, that's where she's at. But are you in a good mood? I mean, I've had a week, but I'm still in a good mood because none of that takes Jesus off the throne. This world is nuts, isn't it? I heard a comedian say he goes, you know, he flies a lot, so he's in the airport. He saw a guy walk in the airport with a shirt that says, if you don't speak our language or don't want to learn it, leave the country. But it's written in English. So he walks up to him and said, you're dumb. But he said it in Spanish. I just got to laugh at that. I thought, man, in this country, it's almost like, are you kidding? You know, I told my daughter, I said, yeah, I just got, she's like, what? I said, well, you know, it'll add spice to life, I guess. So, you know, but how many knows that the enemy is alive and well in the world today? And it's so important that we hear the voice of God. It's so crucial for us to have that listening ear. So that's what we've been talking about. This is the second week in that. Say hi to our online group and online audience. So good to have you with us today. Last week, we just talked about how important it was just to hear God's voice, to be led by Him and His instructions, and to know what to do and when to do it. And I don't think God wants you to do life without Him. I think we can prove that in Scripture. You were created because He loves you, and you were created in His image, and He wants that worship time where you worship Him, and He wants that fellowship with you. But we have free wills, don't we? We have free wills. You can make that choice to do life with God, or you can make the choice to do life without Him. In Jeremiah, in that book, God's, you know, is asking how this could happen, meaning how could they walk away from Him like this? And they're just, I mean, you go through Old Testament and you just think, wow, how many things do these people have to see? Jeremiah 10:23 says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not of himself. It is not in a man who walks to direct his own steps. And so I started thinking about that, and I thought, man, what would it be like to be God, create somebody in your image and have them just walk away and like, they know it all, we don't need you. How many have had teenagers? You know at least a little bit about what I'm talking about. They already know it. And I was a teenager once, and so were you. I mean, I thought, my dad didn't, he's sitting back here. But I'm quicker than him right now, so. But, you know, growing up, you think your parents don't have a clue. They don't even have a grasp of what you're dealing with or whatever. And the older you get, the smarter they got. You're like, Dad really did have something on the ball. You know, and all those times, because I said so, she should have just maybe told me, but she knew something. I wish she'd have said so. There's some things that we have to understand. God wants you to hear Him. He wants to lead you. Hope that makes it a little easier to understand. Our nation is a mess because it started out as one nation under God. What has happened to us, America? We need to be back under that one nation under God. You need to vote this November and vote Bible. Many believers, even unbelievers, we live our life in our own understanding. And sometimes even as believers, we don't really mean to, but because we don't know anything else, that's the culture we've been raised in. We turn to God when trouble comes. Trouble, my friend. Right here in Marion City. With a capital T. I don't have anything else, so anyway. And if I start trying to make that work, I'll mess it up and everybody will be laughing because I'll make up stuff that my wife would be like, why? Why? But as soon as we have trouble, we go to God. And as soon as trouble leaves, so do we. I don't need God now. He got me through that trouble. And I could say that word that we just read is saying, we're not really smart enough to run our own life because we can't see all the things God sees. We don't know all the things God knows. We need God. And if we don't have God, we end up going off course. We might start out good. If you're an aircraft pilot and your destination is such and such and you start out, but if you're not paying attention and you just get off of that by the slightest degree, by the time you get further, you just go more and more away from your destination. Just those little tiny torques, those little tiny tweaks that we do on our own. We need to be like Solomon. When he asked what he said he wanted wisdom. God liked that. Man, I don't know about you, but I could use some more wisdom. See, that's the thing that we have to understand. If Jesus did everything we need, he provided everything we need on the cross. All of that has been provided for. And if we're going through stuff right now, guess what? We have a knowledge issue. A problem with our wisdom. We don't know everything. But if we knew it, we could respond differently. Instead of just, I don't know. What if we sought him? We need God. He wants to talk to you. He's talking. We're just not listening. It's almost like we have to get that radio frequency to that station. And there's a lot of other stations out there. Chapter 30 of Jeremiah says, this is the way, walk in it. Psalm 32 tells us he'll instruct us in which way to go. But, and I read it last week, don't be like the horse and the mule that need the bit in the mouth, because, you know, I've had horses and they don't want to go one way. You yank that around, that causes pain in their mouth and they will do what you say because it's uncomfortable. And as soon as they obey you, the pain is released. It's not there. I want to be able to see the way and be obedient and walk in it and not have to go through pain. I hope you like that idea for you. I mean, I don't think anybody in their right mind I like pain, give me some more. You need that shirt that says, I'm an idiot, thank you, hit me on the head. No, okay, I made that up, so. God has a plan for your life. He's got a plan for my life. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now that verse right in front of that, he has prophesied about the children of Israel going into captivity for 70 years. And it's one of the major prophecies in the Old Testament. And Daniel is used to interpret it in the 8th, 9th, and 10th chapter of Daniel. Right in the middle of judgment, he says, this isn't what I wanted. He says he wants thoughts of peace, not evil, to give you a future and a hope. The King James says it this way. And some of, you know, I have, this is a new King James, which is like King James without the these and the thous. So it's a little easier to understand as far as that goes. I like the New Living Translation. There are some omissions with that, but it's easy to understand. The King James says, to give you an expected end. That's pretty cool. An expected end. See, the New King James says, give you a future and a hope. The King James says, an expected end. There's a lot of us that hope stuff when we get older. I hope we have money to retire on. I hope we'll have good health. I hope we get no diseases. I hope this or that. We just want to make it till we finally get to be home with Jesus. I think God wants you to have a better life here. I mean, even the prayer that he taught us to pray on earth as it is in heaven. The more you think about that, there's no sickness in heaven. There's no lack in heaven. So how do we get there? We got to hear his voice. I need to be, and like you all, fully persuaded. God says he loves you, and if we follow him, we can have an expected end, a hope. I don't have to die sick. I don't have to die broke, depressed, lonely. I don't have to die with dementia. I don't have to have cancer. He has good plans for you and me. But it's dependent upon us being able to hear and follow his leading. I've heard people say, if you work the word works. But you have to believe it. If you don't, it's just black ink or red ink on a page. If we do our own thing, that's where we get messed up, don't we? Now, this famous singer sings this song. He's a mime.
I did it my way.
There you go. I just told him to put that in today. So he goes, you want that today? I'm like, kind of. But we can't do our own thing. If we do our own thing, we get our own results. And I've, my experience, my own results usually haven't been so good. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to man, but in its end is the way of death. So, Brett, what are you saying? I'm saying if you're having major issues in your life, they are not going away. Now, I'm going to explain some of this, so before you check me out here, maybe you're doing things your own way. I just need you to look. If you're not experiencing any joy, any peace, or any of the promises of God, now, some things are done to you and you didn't do them. I get it. So there's that. But if you're finding yourself saying, I'm just doing whatever comes and I do it the way I want to do it, Houston, we found our issue. We have a problem. But God's thoughts are peace, not of evil. He has a plan. We make things really hard, and I think God is trying to make things, he's made them simple. But he doesn't force you to follow it. He doesn't force people in your life to follow it. That could be your issue. You can't make them do what he wants, can you? I mean, their heart is not fully persuaded, because this is a heart issue. You know, there's a teacher that told the boy, hey, you, Billy, you sit down. And he doesn't want to sit down. And she says, if you don't sit down, you're going to get the principal's office. Remember when you went to school? When I went to school, you get wax. Boy, they can't do that now, can they? They even try to lay a hand on anybody. Man, nobody wanted to go to the principal's office because you already knew if the one principal was gone, who was going to whack you? And it depended. How would I know that? I don't know. Vicious rumors. But anyway, the little boy said, he sat down. He said, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. See, sometimes inside, we can kind of get our way, but... Or we can force, some of you were not, Lord, I don't know how to explain all this. When I was growing up, my mom and dad got saved. I had no choice. I was going to church. So people could say, well, I had a drug problem. So did I. I got drugged to church. My mom, she's not here this morning, but she would say, get out of bed. Now, my youngest daughter sitting in the front row, so maybe you should take notes. She said, get out of bed, because if I did not, she was still going to church, and I was going to church in my pajamas, if that's the way I wanted to go. But one way or the other, I was going to church. Now, I could say, yeah, I went to church, and I could say on the inside, I wasn't in church, but the outside I was, whatever, but some of that still rubbed off. Because I still got to hear word. I still got to be around people that were nice and believed the word. And people that I trusted. We need to hear God. But we have to decide by ourselves, Lord, I want your way. The next scripture, we've seen it before, but let's look a little deeper. This is, I'm going to read the verse everybody's going to recognize. This is Jeremiah 29:11. We're going to read the couple after it. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. We already read that. Listen to these. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with, what's it say? All your heart. So a key to hearing is seeking. Not passively. Not like, I got a few minutes, Lord, so go ahead. Hey, the rifleman's about to come on in about 5 minutes, so hit me with your best shot. That's a plug for Pat Benatar. But, hey, I graduated in 79, so there you go. God, you have 5 minutes. You can change my life, so take your time. Isn't that what we do? You won't hear God on a consistent basis with that method. We need, and this is what we read, we call upon him and go and pray to me, he says, and he'll listen to us. And if we seek him, we find him. And if we search for him with all our heart. If you look up the word all, guess what it means? All. That's not casually looking and searching, not with part of your heart. All. Everybody say all. Now, I don't know if Mallory, I can't see back in the back of Mallory's back there. When Mallory was little, well, she was not as, she was still little. She's just not a, she was shorter. So she was, we went to a store and we went to a store and she decided, she was the only kid with, unless Zach might have been a baby, but I don't think so. At the time, I don't think he was with us. I'm not sure. But Mal decided to play hide and seek. And we were in a store, and they had those big racks of clothes. She just decided to go inside one and hide. She was right with me. She was right there. And Kim said, she turned around and said, how does this look? And I said, great. She said, where's Mal? I said, Mal, and Mal's inside there. She's not talking. We can't see her. And we're like, Mallory? Mallory? Nothing. There's people everywhere. This is when malls were big. You know, like now you have the plaza things and stuff. But this is when everybody went to the mall. If you were a teenager, you went to the mall just to hang out with your peeps. Mal! She's not answering. And I mean, I go into, and I'm just, for a better word, I go into Rambo, just like coming home when Maddie was, and there's a man at the house, you know. So this is what I'm doing. I am scanning the store to see anybody carrying a child with dark hair out of the store, because I'm on it. And Kim's voice goes from Mal to Mal! I mean, it's like, you know, and then we hear, and she goes, I was playing hide and seek in her. And all I saw was Mom's hand grabbing her and and we were done shopping. And Mal's party was, as we say, over. She never did that again. The great thing about Mallory was we just have to tell her once and it was over. She'd never really commit the same offense twice. But what I'm telling you is, when we were looking for her, it wasn't half-heartedly. It wasn't like, hey, we got three more, and we can make more. Okay. No big deal. We were. Probably scratched that from the record. We were seeking with all our heart. All our heart. I mean, we were searching and everything. And then when we heard the giggle and we found her. Some of you, that's the only thing you'll remember today, probably. You'll go home. But listen to me. Let me put it this way. As long as you can get by and live without hearing his voice, you will. You'll just survive and do it your way. Because you do have glimpses of God. You will see spurts of him, or you know that he loves you, and you will feel his presence, and you will have some goodness in your life. I'm not saying that won't happen. What I'm saying is you need him more than you think you do. You need to hear his voice all the time. You cannot get where you're supposed to go without listening to God. So what happens is, and I did this in the past, I asked God to bless my plan instead of getting his plan, which is already best and already blessed. Help me. God won't force you to listen. He's a gentleman, and he has to be invited. God, I need your direction. Show me what to do. Your word says you're a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Show me. You know, it's amazing when I started this church. Get this, it's almost bizarre. In 2006 of February, think how long ago that is. I've never started a church. He didn't say, Brett, here's your five-year plan. Here's what you're going to do for 5 years. He just said, start the church. I didn't know how to start the church. I found out how to do that, what I had to do. I did that, and then he'd tell me something else. I'd do that, then he'd tell me something else. He knew that if he gave me too many things, I was just like, I can't take it. You see, some of us, we won't even listen, so we don't hear him because we half-heartedly seek him. Only when we need him is the only time. We've all had friends in here that only need you when they need you, and when they're done needing you, they're done until they need you again. I have people tell me, well, I tried doing that, Brett, but it didn't. I didn't see anything happen. It didn't work. Nothing happened. I'm not you, so I don't know. Did you seek him with all your heart, or did you just say, God, you have that 5 minutes, so for 5 minutes, I'm going to seek after you hard? It's never God that fails to respond. It's us who fail to listen or even seek with our whole heart. I know I'm guilty of this, so I hope you don't. I'm not judging you, because I've asked God for help, and as soon as I got the help, then I was done. The problem's gone. I go back to my old ways and mindset. Then we just get the flare gun out again. God, I need you. You know, if I help my kids out every time they were a little off course or every time they needed something, now I need you to listen, because I hope it comes out right. They wouldn't learn anything, would they? I mean, I got to show them the right way, but when they get to a certain point, they have to make choices. They have to make this, and they have to stand by those. And then they see. Because if I continually do everything, then I'm kind of supporting their bad behavior. If I just bail them out all the time, they never have to, oh, that's all right. There has to be a point where they have to understand what respect is and what choices they make. My dad got saved. He's going to heaven. I can't get to heaven because he got saved. It's just that plain and simple. It has to be my decision. He can't make it for me. I mean, back in the back there, I've seen, you know, when I lived at home, when I was just a little tyke. Where's Tom? Tom's here. Tom's back. Dad and Tom are brothers. Frogging buddies. They went frog hunting. You know what my job and my sister's job was? Cleaning frogs. They do that in hell, I think. Be nasty. They just come in. But, you know, they weren't serving the Lord. They'd have a frogging party, and they'd have all those frog legs and all their buddies that caught the frogs with them and their buddies' wives and stuff. They'd come to the house, and they'd be up for all hours. Now, this is a true story. I came down from their frogging party in the morning. And I mean, this is what our house was. We had an old refrigerator, a Frigidaire, like on Andy Griffith. It, you know what was in it? It was a beer tap. And I was a kid. Dad could not monitor that refrigerator all the time. I felt like Richie Cunningham on Happy Days. I only had it in teeny weeny glasses. How many did you have? 72. So, but anyways, another story, another time. I came down, and Dad wasn't up yet. Funny. But I counted at one place where he normally sat. I still remember this. 17 Stroh's bottles. 17. Because that number stays in my head. And when he got up and came down the steps, you know, he came down the steps, and I said, hey, Dad.
What do you want?
I said, hey, there's 17. Do you guys all drink 17? And this is what his answer was. Again, I'm faster than he is right now. He said, those aren't everybody's. Son, those were just mine. I'm like, 17? Well, now, this is my mindset. Wow, because I didn't have, other than going to church once in a while, then he found Jesus, and everything changed. The tap was gone. There was no more 17 bottles. We were all going to church. Things started changing in the house. Everything got different. And honestly, it was better. I mean, he had, you know, his attitude, not that I'm a judge of attitude, but, you know, as a kid, you know, it was just like, it was better. Things were, he was more about God and about family. And it changed everything. Things started changing. Dimensions of our family started changing. I had to ask myself, why? Because somebody told him about God. What does God sound like? What's your voice sound like? He might just use you. Somebody told him. You know, somebody led Billy Graham to Jesus. Think about that. Billy didn't just come out of the womb, hallelujah. I mean, somebody told him about Jesus. And if you get like stuff in your crown, somebody's got a nice crown. They led Billy Graham to Jesus. But you know, I mean, things began to change. He would start supporting things that were of the godly nature and not, I had to be accountable for more of my actions. Before, he was kind of out of it and didn't care. Does that make sense? So I have to teach, you know, our children, when I raised our kids, I did to the best of my ability. You have to be accountable for this. I need you to, you know. My boys in the beginning, remember when Nintendo started? And PlayStation 1, whom you might still have one of those. I don't know. I guess there were something now. But, you know, they were like, hey, we have to play games. Mal had a Nintendo 64. Does that make sense? But, you know, if they did something, I'd say, I'm taking that away. Mal could care less. You could take it away. You could use it as a decoration. She didn't care. She only played it every once in a while. I did that to the boys. Oh, Dad. Dad, don't do that. 3 days without PlayStation. You'd like I pulled the plug on their lifeline or something. But what I did with them is I asked God, now listen, this isn't even in my notes, so why I'm going here, I'm just going here. I asked the Lord, how do I make them, because we were having issues with too much time. So parents, listen up. This is what I did. I don't know if it'll work for you. I made up a contract. I asked the Lord. He told me an idea. I made up a contract. Here's what the contract says. And then, you know, some people say, that's not happening. You're not telling me how much I can play. Do you want to live here? Mm-hmm. Yes, I am. I will let you play, but these conditions must be made. So it was the things that they had to do around the house had to be done. Respect had to be, they had to treat mom and me with respect and their siblings. Maddie had fun with that one. Yeah. She's over there. Not my circus, not my monkeys. So, you know, and then they got this much time during the day, and then we could allot them more time if we felt so that they were being, you know, they deserved it. But if they violated these, they would lose that time. And I had a place for me to sign, and I had a place for them to sign. You'd never think I'd have to use the contract. I really didn't have to with Maddie, but I did with her brothers. You signed it. The one of them said, you made me sign it. I'm like, yep. Nonetheless, you signed it. And they did fine. We just enforced the rule. And we did it in as much as love as if they you know, tried to get around it. I confiscated the machine and said, we'll put it back in whatever time. Anyway, not in my notes, but it did work. But if we seek the Lord with all our heart, it becomes part of who we are. It's our lifestyle. I'm just going to go to God and get the answer. God, what do you want me to do? Because he knows. So if he wants to tell me, and he does, why wouldn't I listen? Matthew 7, 7 and 8, ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, it'll be open. Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Puts this with Jeremiah 29:13. Seek with all your heart, you find him. Ask with all your heart, you receive. Knock with all your heart, the door gets opened. You have to want it. You have to desire it. You have to go after it. You have to focus on it. God speaks to us heart to heart, not head to head. Does that make sense? He's going to talk to you. Heart. He's going to speak to your spirit. When you get saved, you and God's spirit gets connected. So if your heart isn't right, you're going to miss it. If you're self-centered, if it's all about you, I don't know how this benefits me, you want to be Frank Sinatra, you're going to miss it. You need to humble yourself. 10:23 of Jeremiah, Lord, I know the way of man is not of himself. It's not in a man who walks direct his own steps. I need God. He'll direct me. He'll show me what to do. He'll show me where to go. I need his voice. I'm just telling you right now, I told you I started this church in 2006. I'm not that smart. I can't do this on my own. I need, you know, God, I don't know how to do that. I need, you know, it baffles me to go back and think, when we started this, we were an hour and 45 minutes away from, we started in a school, well, started in my house, and then hour and 45 minutes away, and I bought sound equipment, loaded it all up in the van, put the kids in the van, drove, set it all up myself, set up the chairs, did everything, got everybody in here, that's, you know, anybody that would come. When it was done, loaded up the van, put it in there, took the kids back home. Most of the time they fell asleep, carried them into bed, you know, whatever, because we'd have to get up at 5. I'd already have the van loaded because it was an hour and 45 minutes to get here, and we wanted to get early, and it's all, you know, it's just. And then, I think of the equipment, like the keyboard, and at the beginnings, you know, we bought drums, and Sam was the bass player, Zach was the drummer, Mal was the singer and played the guitar, and Kim played the keyboard, and I played the radio. But getting all of that done. And then we got to a point where we had more people, and then they were able to help us. We'd pull up, and they would unload the van, and that was like, thank you, Jesus. Still had to find a place to live and do all of that. And then we set up in the school, and we had people that set up in the school, and, you know, we helped them, and they helped us with that, and we'd tear down and set up, and how many remember doing that every service? But he brought people that are awesome. People that make me look good, and people think, oh, Brett did that. Brett didn't. I probably did. You know, Ron's been with me for years, and he has done so many great things, helped us on the website and done so many things. Some of you have been with me almost since the beginning, and I couldn't do this without you. God has used you specifically to do things and help do things. I mean, my mind just gets baffled of all the things that people have done over the years. From Rob Schreck to Fix Plumbing, from Rick Gatrell to who knows what. He's put, I don't know, you've done 75 million jobs here. I mean, from putting tile on the wall to whatever. Tom Gleespen that's done so much stuff. I mean, and the list just goes on and on and on. I'm not that good. He gives me people to make me look good. But teamwork does make the dream work. In order for us to get where he wants us to be, we have to hear his voice. We have to listen. If you're in a mess and you don't know how to get out, you don't know how you got there, you got to listen. Maybe you didn't even put yourself there. Maybe you contributed, but, you know, you still got to listen. Because God cares about you. Even if other people are involved, he still cares about them. But he's not going to let you go by the wayside. Throw your plans away and ask God for his plans. Now, I will say this. Just because you have issues doesn't mean God's not in it. Okay? In this life, you will have tribulation. Jesus said that. The devil is real. And he does combat us. He does come against us. He does challenge us, but we have to choose to take the bait. I mean, I told you the story of the woman slapping my face. I mean, there's choices that were happening there. My emotions were like, because, I mean, I didn't know if the guy was going to be like, yeah. But, you know, I just diffused all that. I just told her not to do it again. I was kind to her. I asked if she needed to use the restroom, and she said, why? I already did. That's the rest of the story without going into detail. She was mad because I wasn't there in time for her to use the restroom. I didn't know. Hey, some of your. I mean, it is what it is, but you know what? I mean, I chose to be nice, and when she left, she asked me if I had anything else for sale. I said, no. She wanted a wagon wheel. I said, I don't have a wagon wheel. Okay, I'll keep my number. If you get one, call us. choices. But we have to listen. We have to start saying, God, I understand the enemy does come. I'm not going to choose his way. Because if the choice doesn't lead you into peace, don't choose it. Now let me define. You can do the right thing and there can still be stuff going on that you don't like. But do you have peace? Sometimes telling the truth doesn't make everybody happy, but it's the right thing to do, and there's peace. Okay? 2 Timothy 3:12, yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So the enemy will persecute you. If you're being persecuted because of your stance in Christ, count it all joy. Just smile. Jesus, you're good. You're good. Most of the issues we have are probably not, many of them are not demonic. They're more self-inflicted. The devil doesn't have to work too hard. We help him too much. We chose to take the bait. But I think in today's time, it's so critical that we listen to the voice of God. It comes down to this. If you don't, you won't. If you do, you will. It's up to you. Your determination will prove this out. And that's the thing. I can give you the word. I can't make you follow it. I mean, you're looking at a masterpiece on his way to being a masterpiece. Obviously, I don't have it all. I mean, I'm not perfect. I know that's hard for you to believe. It's not really hard for you to believe, but your heart will tell the tale. Seek and you'll find. Ask and you'll receive. Knock and the door will be open. Now, I've never started a church but this one. I've pastored other churches that were already started. I pastored a church in Pickerington, east side of Columbus. Really growing community. And I was not the founding pastor. They had a pastor in between me and the founding pastor. And he was there 1 year and was gone. And that's a whole nother story. And then I took over. And that church from the founding pastor was based off the Brownsville Revival. Did anybody know about that? Brownsville Revival went for 5 years. Great revival. Went down there several times myself. But in the church, they had flags of all different kinds. And inside of some of the flags, they sewed people's names for salvation and believing, because that was what the Lord told the founding pastor of Brownsville to do, and told evidently the founding pastor of that church to do. And so they had it just look like a mimic of that church. And so there's a pastor in between us. When I got there, that's not what the Lord told me to do. That did not go over well, because most of the people were there from the founding pastor. And so if there's a new sheriff in town and he's there and he's changing things, people aren't liking that. But there are a lot of things that were happening there that I didn't have a whole lot of time. I had to do what the Lord told me to do, and I had to do it quickly as he told me. The first pastor that followed me, or the pastor that followed me, he was gone because the church voted him out in a year. That was in their bylaws, which isn't biblical. And the district, while I was in the assemblies at the time, had said, if you do anything, get that out of the bylaws. Could you get that out? So I said I would, and I did before I left. I was there about 7 years. But anyways, the Lord had me change everything. And it did not go over with like, wee. And what he told me to do was take the flags out and then put them in another room and make that room the prayer room. And so that's what I did. And I told people that's what I was going to do. But when the actual action came, there were people that were upset with that. That in itself leaves me choices to, like, do I want to be persecuted for what the Lord has told me to do, or just yield and listen to whatever. I had people, if you just change it back, we'd be really happy. And we'll stay, and so will our money. That's not how I work. And that's not what the Lord told me. So I just said, I'm sorry you feel that way. And we are going to have a prayer room, and those will be in the prayer room. And you can pray, you know, use that anytime. So I had all of this opposition. But the Lord took care of it. He took care of it. He gave that, and then he started moving in that place in incredible ways. God is not a cookie cutter God. He's not going to just give you something. If people would let it prove out, they would be like, there's people that stayed. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and it's just, I'm finishing up. I was at home, and he told me, it's time to change the name. And I was like, Lord, you ever just talk to God like you're talking to your best friend? Because that's the way I like to talk to him. I said, you know, that's not going to go over well. And he was just quiet. He said, I want you to change the name. And he gave me the name. And I said, that's what you want. That's what I'll do. So I did it correctly. I went to the district office. I was in the assemblies then. I'm not now. We're independent, non-denominational. But I was ordained in the assemblies. And I said, I want to change the name, to which they were extremely excited about, because the name was very much like their church camp. And there was people at church camp were always getting our church confused with the camp. And we get calls every week. My son left his tennis shoes, and they were $120. We're like, we're not the camp. Sorry. Oh. And there was just all kinds of. So to have a name change, they were like, sweet. Here's what we want you to do. Here's how to go about it. And the Lord just said, just do what they. So I did everything they said. To the letter, crossed my T's, dot my I's, had my leadership all in, told them what the Lord had told me, told them what the name he gave me, told them when it was going to happen, told them before I told the church, had a meeting on when we were going to do it and all of that. They all were in agreement. We were all in the meeting. Every one of them said, okay. When we told the church, I did a whole message on God changing Abram's name to Abraham, you know, just something to hopefully, you know. Family got up, walked out. Another family got up, walked out. They were two of my core leaders, walked out of the middle church. This, in 1 month, 60 people left because of a name change. People that said, okay, we're on board. 60 people left. They took people. When we tried to get people to ask, I said, why did you leave? They go, I don't know. I left because so-and-so left. Really? We didn't change anything. Didn't change our doctrine. Didn't change anything. Changed the name. And honestly, I'd have called it the House of Donuts if God would have told me to. They could dunk that. You know what I'm saying? I love this church. Probably go over now. Coffee and donuts. Come to Dunkin'. But, I don't know. But, I mean, it just, but it's okay. You know what God said? It's okay. And I stood there and said, but God, I don't know how this is going to work. And he said stuff like this to me. Brett, do you trust me? Well, yes, sir, I trust you. It's okay. If they are going to leave, let them go. I love them. I'll work with them. But I'm working with you. Okay. And he did. Some of those people we're still friends with. You know, am I happy how they left? No. But I still love them. I can't hold that over them. I mean, so you know what? If they want to hold the stupid stuff I've done, you know what I mean? Brett, what are you saying? I'm saying it's imperative to hear the voice of the Lord. It's so important. It's so critical. I can't even overemphasize it. I know it's 11:43, and I'm just about to close this. But he wants to talk to you. And I know some of you are sitting there now, and maybe some online are saying, I want to be able to talk to him like you talk to him. You can. He's no respecter of persons. He doesn't love me more than he loves you. Do you know that? There's nothing you can do to make him love you less, and there's nothing you can do to make him love you more. He's just there. He just needs agents to do what the kingdom needs. People that he loves, that he trusts. That's what he wants. He just wants you. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads, please?